Good morning, Central Park Baptist Church. Good morning to you all. How are we doing this morning? We're doing okay? Amen and amen. If you're able to stand, we'd like for you to join us in singing hymn 238. Hymn 238, this is the day. Hymn 238, this is the day. And then we'll have an opening word of prayer. Hymn 238, this is the day.
Oh, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
From the top, one more time.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us thus far today. We ask, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus, and for what he has done for us on the cross. We just ask, Lord, that if there be anyone here today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they too would come today and make that right today, Lord, with you. We just continue, Lord, to thank you for the time that we have here in your house today with our brothers and Christians and sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our pastor and for what he will bring to us this afternoon. We pray for Brother Alexandria as he speaks to us this morning, Lord. We just ask that you would continue to work through us and help us in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. And as we continue, we would love for you to join us in singing hymn 580. Hymn 580, this was especially appropriate last night as well as this morning. There shall be showers of blessing. Blessing we need, mercy drops round us from far. seated.
Hymn 368.
heart was distressed in the overstripped ground, and alone in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day.
He brought me out.
Church, we're glad you're here. You may be seated. Thank you for coming. If you're a visitor here this morning and you did not receive a visitor card, if you're a first-time visitor at Central Park Baptist Church, we're awful glad that you've come. But our ushers are going to come, and if you did not receive a visitor card, if you slip up your hand right now, they'll give you a visitor card. We're going to ask you to fill that out. After the service in the foyer, I'll be behind the desk where it says welcome, and I'll be glad to exchange that gift. A gift bag for your visitor card. We want to thank you for being here.
Amen.
Thank you for being a part of Central Park Baptist Church, and thank you for visiting today. It's good to see all of our regulars. Well, I can't wait to see what the garden's going to bear in the next day or two, because it seems like whenever God's water is given, man, it just grows immensely.
Yes.
Amen. There's nothing like God's water, because that's also a resemblance to us. There's nothing like God's Holy Spirit's power. Amen. And we got to have that in everything to do. Let me give you a few announcements. Don't forget about 24 and 24. Next Sunday at 8:30 in the morning, we'll be meeting here in the auditorium. We're asking men and women and boys and girls to come meet with us. We're looking for 24 people in the year of 2024 to meet with us the first Sunday of every month right here in the auditorium to pray for God's work for the month. Now, it's been amazing what God has done this past 3 months so far, in the 4 months at the beginning of the year. Amen. And so it's exciting to see what God has planned for us starting with the 5th month. So you come and pray with us. Don't forget about, if you have not signed up to go to the Vacation Bible School in Grants, New Mexico, and you want to go and work, please make sure you sign up.
Right.
The cost is $300 per person, double occupancy. Please, if you haven't signed up, we need you to sign up very, very quickly. We will be having a cybersecurity class. We've talked about this.
Amen.
This will be on this Saturday, May 4th, here at 11 o'clock. So it'll be right after men's soul winning, church-wide soul winning.
Right.
Soul winning's at 9:30 in the morning. We get back from that. Then we'll have a security class at 11, amen? So I want to encourage you to be a part of soul winning as well at 9:30 in the morning. Then this Saturday at 8:30 in the morning, we'll be having men's prayer breakfast, amen? We'll be having men's prayer breakfast, 8:30 in the morning. We'll be gathering together. We'll eat some breakfast together. We'll have a little fellowship around the Word of God. And then we'll have a prayer time, amen? Again, there is nothing more powerful than prayer. Nothing. Nothing more powerful than prayer. And so it's important that we pray together. And then don't forget about ladies' Bible study this Tuesday at 10:15. That's a different time? 10:15? Okay, so that's the 10:15 is when it gets started. You do not have to be a member of Central Park Baptist Church, ladies, to come to be a part of this Bible study, but I want to encourage you to be able to come. Then men's whitewater rafting, June 10th through the 12th. If you have not turned in your money, please do so as soon as possible. Amen. Thank you for coming, and welcome to Central Park Baptist Church.
Amen. Well, y'all glad to be here. Say amen.
Amen.
You've witnessed a miracle this morning. One is that, brother, I did not hear Brother Marco say anything about bacon. Did you?
No, you did. Wow, that is a miracle. Yeah, that is.
I mean, the Lord can come back anytime now, right? But don't forget about that. Also, if we didn't push this last week, but you're witnessing something as well today that it happens if you're not careful. And that is the Sunday that follows a big day.
Yeah.
It's always a tough day to get folks back.
Yeah.
I'm talking about regular people. And you're seeing that today. We've got a lot of folks out today.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage, not only that, but it's rainy, amen, and dreary outside. But I'm thankful where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, he's in the midst, amen.
Yes, sir.
And we've already had a good time with Brother Alexander this morning in Sunday school, and looking forward to the message that's following here in just a few minutes. But let's work hard for next week and get everybody back in their place. Get on the phone. Let's call those that got saved last week.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our responsibility is just getting started. The Bible says teaching them. So we got to get them in here so we can teach them, amen, and teach them about baptism and teach them about the Word of God. So let's pray for them and pray for those that it's invited them, that God will help them and give them strength to do that. And now it's time for a good offering, amen. Not a mediocre offering, but a good one, amen. Yeah, y'all okay, say
amen.
Good, amen. It's okay to enjoy yourself in the Lord's house.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you read Exodus 17? Oh, y'all didn't read that. We're going to preach on that in a little bit. So I'm just checking. Y'all got time in between services, all right, to read that. But let's have a good offering this morning. And remember, you can't outgive God. God said you give and he'll give it back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. So you give as unto the Lord today. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I pray that you'd bless this offering. Thank you for our folks, Lord, their faithfulness. Lord, I know we've got some folks that aren't feeling well today. I know we've got folks that are out of town. But God, I pray we need you this morning, and I pray that you'd visit with us today, Lord, through the preaching of the Word of God, through Brother Alexander. Bless him, Lord, and be with him. And then again, we pray that you bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have an offering, you please come.
At this time, Children's Church is officially open. Anyone fifth grade and under, you're now dismissed for junior church. Fifth grade and under is now dismissed for junior church. The remainder of us, if you're able to rise, we would like to sing one more hymn, hymn 413, first and last verses of hymn 413, just over in Glory Land. Hymn 413, at the conclusion of this hymn, please greet each other, especially our visitors this morning. Hymn 413, first and last verses, and then greet each other. Hymn 413. Sing along.
I've a home prepared where the saints. Yahweh's throne, I will shout and sing just over in the glory land. Let hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. Join the happy angels.
At this time. For what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down His Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes He had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let Him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly reason. I was the sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver, dying while I go free. That one earthly reason was me. The fairest of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, His only reason was me. I was the
sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver. Dying while I go free. That only reason is
thank you. Thank you. Bonjour again. It's good to be back, and this time to share with you the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, because this is our spiritual food. And we're here this morning for that, and I was very happy to share the ministry that God has entrusted me and my wife among the Haitian with you. Because I believe it is not my ministry, it is God's ministry. And God called us to be a part of his ministry, to join him, to come to the field, to be workers in his field. And so it is all about God. It is all because of him. It is all for his glory. He called each one of us for a time. I hope that you know that. You know that you have a time. You don't have all time. God called you for a time. And each one of us has a time. And then we transition to be with our Father. And so make sure that during your time, you follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You understand that each one of us has a personal plan. Do not look at the others, because God has a plan for him, which may be different from what he has for you. But whether it's you or the other one, it is all for his glory. So I understand that very well in my ministry, and God has taught me that in the ministry. And so this morning I'd like to share a little bit about what the word that Pastor White said at last after I spoke earlier this morning. Do you remember what he said? He stood right there. He said something to you that what God has for you. What did he say? Do you remember? Does anyone remember? Pastor White said, God has a plan for you. And that's what I'd like to, and when he said that, that touched me. I said, well, I can adjust to that. My sermon, yes, indeed, and because I want to follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. Remember what Jesus Christ said to Pilate during his judgment about when he asked him about what is the truth and his kingdom, all those questions during his interrogation. Jesus said, for this purpose, I come into this world and to this end. It is his life has a purpose. This is the purpose. And he understand that, Christ understand that very well. And so I have seen that, beloved, in my ministry. In the ministry that God has entrusted me and my wife, when I look back, when I look back through the years, from the beginning, I realized what a beautiful plan that God has had for me. And when you are in it, you do not realize that. Because you have plans. We do have plans, right? But we know that at the end of the day, it is his plan that will succeed. And so I would like for you to open your Bible, if I may, in the book of Acts. And to read this passage in the book of Acts, in Acts, let me see, Acts, I believe it's Acts 16. doing the move of the Holy Ghost in the life of the Apostle Paul, doing his second missionary journey. Yeah. And yes, please stand as I read, in from verse 4. We will read from verse, I will read for you from verse 4 to verse 10. 4 to 10, Acts 16. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and in an increase in number daily. Verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, again in verse 7, suffered them not. Right. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, finally. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul, as a missionary with his team, including Dr. Luke, Paul wanted to go to visit that the churches he had established and eventually maybe would establish other churches. He's preaching the gospel of Christ. And so we see from that, from the reading of the scripture, in verse 6 and 7, the Holy Spirit has a plan. Paul left with his missionary team with something in mind to visit Asia, to visit the churches he has established. Like I would go sometime, go to Haiti, go to Dominican Republic, and visit churches in Haiti that I have established. And so, that is the plan. And as I've said earlier this morning, the work of God is not something it is not a one-man ministry. Right. It is a team ministry. Right. And so he has a team with him, and they with him, and they try to go in verse 6 and into the city, and verse 7 into Mysia, and the Holy Spirit suffered them not. And we've seen two occasions what happened and how they were forbidden in verse 6 to by the Spirit of God and to preach the word in Asia. And the door was closed. Right. Two times the door was closed. Right. Yeah. And finally, what's going on? And we realize that in verse 9, something happened that tell them what is going on. And in verse 9, the Bible said a vision appeared to Paul. He had a vision. And there was a man in Europe. It was not part of his itinerary. It was not part of his missionary plan, journey and road. But God has a plan. Right. God is the one who called us into the ministry. Yes, sir. Amen. We don't do it according to our plan. We do it according to his plan. Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And even the life that we have as a person. We don't own anything. The life that we have is given by God. Right. We exist, each one of us, because of Him. Yeah. We don't own anything. Right. We do not only, sometimes we say, I don't own, you know, my house, it's all, but what do we own? What is it that you have created? Have you created your air, your eyes, your body, your brain? That because you, we are so smart. What do we have? Nothing. Zero. He did it all. We belong to Him. Not only as a person, our body, our mind, and everything that we have, we own, that we are, belong to Him, but the plan, our life. Sometimes people say, my life is my life. I do whatever I want to do. No. It's my ministry. We don't have a ministry. It's my church. We don't have a church. It's all to Him and for His glory, beloved. It is His plans. Pastor said God's plan. God has a plan for you. Before you were even born. And for that plan, you were born. To this purpose, you came to this end. You came into this world. Whatever purpose He has for you, this is why I came in. This is why you came into this world. This is why I came into this world. And once that plan is over, then my time here is over. Amen. That's just the way it is, whether I like it or you like it or not. Amen. And so, beloved, Paul understood that. He understood the value of listening to God's voice, to the Holy Spirit voice, to His guidance. Because if you want to succeed into the ministry, you need to stick to Him. Because we are men of God. We are not just men. Men of God. And that's what makes the difference. Men and women of God. Because if we are just men or women, we can be just like anyone in the world. Doing all those crazy things. What makes the difference in our life? It is of God. Amen. This is why we need to stay connected to God. Follow His lead. No matter what people say, feel, or even no matter what you feel. It's not even about your feeling. Amen. It's not about if I feel good about it. Sometimes people said, I have a good feeling about this thing. So not because you have a good feeling about it. Sometimes you have a good feeling about it and it's bad. It's not about feeling. It's about His will, His plan, His purpose. What is His plan for you? What is His plan for me? What is His plan for Paul? Paul went out to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit closed the door over and over again. And he went out for a good purpose. Because his purpose, humanly speaking, if we reason about it, he went out to go to Asia to preach the gospel. That's a good thing. Amen. You would think that's great. But God did not want him to preach the gospel in that time in Asia. He wanted him to even do more than Asia. Right. Sometimes people, somebody said, you know, even the good things that we do, if it's not in God's timing, is not good. It's not about being good. It's about it is God's will. Is it God's will? And so, beloved, God closed the door. But you remember what Jesus said after his resurrection? Before his resurrection, I meant. Before his passion. Remember, in view of his passion, of his death, burial and resurrection, remember what he said to the disciple. He said to the disciple that I will not let you orphan. I will not let you after the passion. 40 days he spent in talking to them, caring for them. But he said, I will not let you orphan. I will send the Holy Spirit to continue to guide you, to teach you. The role of the Holy Spirit is biblical. I remember one of my professors in Bible college, Terry Spencer, said something that was true to me in that time, that sometimes we Baptists, we are sometimes timid, shy about the Holy Spirit because of the abuse of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit by Pentecostal and by other groups. And we feel shy to talk about the Holy Ghost. But his ministry is present. His ministry is biblical. God, the Son, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a mystery. I don't get it completely because I know there is one God. And the Bible said the Holy Spirit will guide you. He even said he will teach you. He will console you. He will comfort you. He will guide you. He will guide you when you read the scripture. He is guiding me when I'm reading the Bible. The Holy Spirit. And in your life, you got to always as an ear to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, his guidance, beloved. And so Paul was listening. And because he listened, he understood that God has a plan. And the plan is not his plan, it is God's plan. Amen. He is a worker with God, he is in God's field. He was able to do the right things in the right time. And the door was open in Greece, in Macedonia, the door of Europe was wide open for the gospel to enter. And Paul was able to do that. Because he listened, but it was not his plan. Because he started with the plan to go to Asia. Beloved, this remind me. When I see what the Holy Spirit did with the Apostle Paul, I look back in my life from the time I started, God called me into the ministry to this day. It is not that much different. And I believe it is the same thing. For each one of you who are with me today in this building. Because God has a plan for me and for you. God is not done yet with you, beloved. Regardless of your age, remember, Paul, he started this ministry in the old days. Moses, Paul, and so many others. He started with people in their youth as well. Look at Timothy and others. And Joshua. Regardless of your age, as long as you can breathe, God can use you. If he has a plan for you to still be alive, therefore he has a plan for you, for his glory as well. Be open. Open your ear, your spiritual ears. Open your spiritual eyes and see what others who are not in Christ cannot see, and see God's plan for you in Carrollton, in this city, in this town, in this church, in this place where you are. When I started the ministry in Haiti, it was not my plan. Started it out in 1989. I remember I graduated from Arlington Baptist College, and I came with a plan when I would be done. I would go and start a church in Miami, where I lived, and in Florida, and I would do that. And I had many other Asians who were already waiting for me to start a church there. That was mine, but not God. Amen. And beloved, when I graduated. And I went to do some deputation, and then got ordained in a church called Harmony Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. And then in 1989, my wife and I and our children, we decided to return to Haiti. That was God's plan. Right. Not my plan, because that was not my plan at all. Right. In fact, it did not even make sense that I would return to Haiti in such a time as that time. Right. Because in that time, in 1989, Haiti was still under, it's worse now, but it was bad to the point where all over the news on newspaper in Florida, everywhere, they were talking about boat people coming from Haiti because of political violence. Now it is gang violence. It was political violence then. People that are connected to the government and they were persecuting people, and people were trying to leave Haiti by all means that they could. And so my wife's parent and my brothers, my family, because they all live here in America, they could not understand that I made a decision to return to Haiti in such a time. And they thought I was crazy because it did not make sense to them. And because when you rationalize it, it does not make sense. And this is what that happened to many of us. We rationalize things. It is good to rationalize, but you got to count God in. Because you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You're not on this planet by yourself. Somebody put you here. He has a plan for you. He puts you in a time. He has a time that he will remove you, retrieve you. It is, to me, it's smart. It's intelligent. It makes sense to consider our Creator in everything that we do. Why not? Why not? And so, beloved, God decided, make that decision for me to return. Did not make sense. And even my father-in-law thought I was very irresponsible. Humanly speaking, that was irresponsible. Because they said, hey, listen, you have those children, they are here, living here. One is born here, and then they live here. They go to school here, and they have friends. And then you're going to take them back to this chaotic place and facing all those situations, put their life at risk. And that's not responsible as a father. But that's what they said. By the grace of God, my wife stood with me, and our children just obeyed their parents because they had friends, but not my will, but his will. But God has a plan. We went to Haiti. I went to Haiti. It's like going into a boat that is sinking. Everyone is trying to leave that ship, and you want to get in. doesn't sound like a good strategy. It doesn't look like a good plan. Sometimes that's the way God's plan. Look, they don't look that good, but God has a plan. For this purpose, you came into this world. All those children, those kids, you know, we have, God has a plan for each one of them. Mm-hmm. You parents, we have plans, but God has a plan. Right. And that's God's plan, that is the best plan for them. And so, have the Apostle Paul disobey and said, I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what makes sense. If Paul could have said, I want to do what makes sense, and because we sit down and we develop this strategy by the book, you know, by the book, a mission, you know, when we, all the studies on mission show that what we're doing is right. Going to Macedonia don't make sense. But the Bible said that in verse 10, after the had seen that vision. And after he had seen the vision, referring to Paul in verse 10, You see, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he moved from he to we. After he had seen the vision, immediately we, meaning it's no longer just Paul, but we conclude, we pray about it. We all trying to, we are a team. We decided that we need to listen to God, to the Holy Spirit guidance. We have the books. We also have the Holy Spirit. And so they decided, and they said, we endeavor to go into Macedonia. So we decided to listen to his guidance. You see, this is what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to ask God, talk to me. Like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. I went to Haiti. My wife and I, we went there. It was violent. Oh, it has not been easy. There was scary time. It was risky. It is bad now. It is maybe worse now, but because the world is getting from bad to worse. But it wasn't good, as if it was okay then. As I like to say, security is not the absence of danger. Security is to be in the center of God's will. Think about it. The people in the tower on September 11, remember? On 9/11? The people in those towers in New York City, I'm sure, in Manhattan, they felt secure while they didn't know the danger was getting close. Yet they felt secure. There were many tourists visiting. They felt secure, yet the danger came. You may feel secure and yet be in danger. You may be in danger and feel in danger and yet secure. Once you are in the center of God's will, you have nothing to fear. Like a man said, I don't know his name, but you only can fear. But when you are in center of God's will, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, right? Amen. Amen. So, beloved, I went to Haiti. We preached, we knocked doors. We established churches. Amen. We preached the gospel. Amen. Many people who are involved in voodoo, in evil doing, in the voodoo religion, a voodoo priest got saved. People who've been empowered by evil, who feel empowered in by the devil, by evil spirits, get their life changed. Yeah, and God protected me and my family. Amen. Me and my children, we were fine in the midst of the danger. You see, when God is with you, no one can touch even one hair. Right. Even one hair. Not even one without him saying, that's okay. Right. Amen. Right. And that's not just words. That's the truth. Amen. I live it, beloved. Yep. Paul live it. Yep. And I live it myself. I've seen it. The Holy Spirit is real. Amen. God is real. God is alive. Amen. When the Haitian called God good God, they right. Yes. Good God is real. Amen. He's able. He has a plan for you. Amen. Why do you worry? You are in the palm of his hands. Who can touch you? What can affect you without him allowing? Right. Is he not God? Amen. That's good. Does he lie? Is the Bible a children's storybook? No. Are not those words living words? They are living words. There is life in the word. So the ministry established. And in 2010, I remember the story of my life in 2010. 2010, I was talking to my wife because, you know, she's like my brain sometimes. She has to remind me everything. I said, do you remember? Because I was thinking about the sermon. I said, do you remember exactly when we returned to Haiti before the earthquake? And she reminded me, and then I remember. Then I checked my email, and I was trying to find that ticket, the reservation. And so I was able to find it as well, the date that I purchased that ticket and the ticket date that I was supposed to return to Haiti. We returned in December 30th of 2009. So about such a few days, less than 15 days before the earthquake, not knowing what was going to happen. Right. I did furlough. I came here. I came to this church. Went to many other churches and time to return to Haiti. And I remember, beloved, something that happened that I will never forget. That dream that I have. My wife, remember when I was very troubled. It was on the 29th of December. The night of 29th of December. I had that dream that I can summarize it that way. I saw like a big snake. I never had a dream like that in my life. I was very troubled, and I saw like a serpent, a big serpent with several heads coming from the bottom of the earth and look at me and trying to get me to fear, to save. I felt like in that dream, I saw myself in Haiti, and we used to have many chicken in our yards in Haiti, and I was trying and a chicken came out of the yard, and then I was trying to get that chicken, and suddenly there was a snake trying to keep me from getting my hands on the chicken. And that snake come from the bottom of the earth, and the way and the head was like the head of a human being, and it did not say anything to me, but is just by looking at me, he's telling me. Don't even try to save the chicken. That's what I fear that the serpent communicated. And I woke up troubled. And I remember I talked to Dominic. Dominic is the name of our youngest daughter. And I said to Dominic, because we talk all the time, because he and I and my daughter, we love to debate on the biblical things. She's very is intellectual. She loves history. She teaches history. She loves history of the nation. And we debate all the time about the Bible. And she's very good, to tell you the truth. And so I share with her. I said that dream. I told my wife about the dream. I said I'm troubled because I was so troubled that I went a car and I had a little car wreck on that day that I never had. I was so troubled. And I said, I don't understand. Something is going to happen in my life. And I said, I'm returning to Haiti. Is there something? And is something going to happen to me? And Dominic said, you know, you're going to preach, Dad. You're going to dare to preach the gospel. I'm sure the devil and some maybe you use some people to try to attempt in your life, because we know there are many violence in the country, but I know that God will take care of you, because in that dream, that big serpent that came from down the earth with that human face did not hurt you, did not try to hurt you, only looking at you from what you said. And I said, that's true, but I was so troubled. And then less than 15 days after that dream, then I realized, I still do not understand the meaning of it, but what I know, something big happening. In January, I arrived in Haiti on December 30th, 2009. In January 10, that earthquake happened. And when that earthquake happened, I said to myself, I thought I was going to die. And it was, I saw the roof moving up and down. It's all concrete all around. And I remember the thing that I said. I said, God, I don't think I'm going to make it, because I've never been in an earthquake before. And I thought maybe that's the end of the world. And I said, I'm not going to make it. But whatever happened, God, make it happen quick so I would not suffer too much. So my mind was moving fast, and I had all those thoughts very fast during those few seconds. And my consolation was, I'm going to see Jesus. And I said, make it quick. Because I said, I know I'm going to see my bodies under the wobbles. And it's going to like a pancake, the way I imagine it. But God did not do it, because I'm still here, right? and it did not do it. And when we went down the building, we went outside, my wife got injured. We're walking, it's so dusty, we're coughing, we cannot see anything. We can hear cry of people, voice. And then I said, what's going on? And I thought to myself, oh, I see what's going on. This is the end of the world. Because that's my mind trying to figure out. And then I said, if that is the end of the world, what I'm doing, I should have not been. Am I left behind? What does that mean? I'm supposed to be safe, And so many children died. As far as the eye can see, you can see dead bodies, dead children. And the international community did not come yet to Haiti. It was on CNN, but nobody came yet to help in Haiti. But you would see so many people on the wobbles. There were people walking with saw to help others by cutting limbs, arms, because someone has his arm stuck on the wobbles. Someone would come. You hear cry, screaming and moving and doing all. This is something you cannot, this was traumatizing to me. It was a trauma to me. In my mind, I got saved with trauma. But God, out of this tragedy, we preached the gospel after that. I remember I stood with my wife on the walls of the church building that we showed you during the video, and we said to people, if we are alive, if we survive, and we survive the earthquake, it is for a purpose.
Right. Right. Amen.
I said, we're not going to spend one day not worshiping God.
Amen.
And that happened on a Tuesday. On Sunday, we on the rubble. We have picture of that. We have service. Come praise, because we survive. We have a purpose. Out of this tragedy, an orphanage was born. And that orphanage saved the life of many children who survived this earthquake, who today could have become gangsters and killers of people. Tragedy does not happen because God make it happen. It's because of evil. Evil since the very beginning of the world. Because of evil, started when men sinned, Cain killed Abel. Because of evil, we see how the generation of Noah become so evil. And God was even forced to flood the world. Tragedy happened because of sin. We're living in a world of sin. Right. We have natural tragedy and human-made tragedy because of sin. But God, since the very beginning, made a plan to save people through the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ came and died, was buried and resurrected on the third day. And so the gospel is preached to everyone who is lost. God has a plan, always has a plan. God has a plan, beloved. Today in this tragedy in Haiti, God, as Pastor White said, God used us to plant that ministry in Tampa beforehand. Beforehand, before the gangsters got to the worst point of evil in Haiti, God used us. We did not even understand why when we came to Tampa to just for medical check, and then there was COVID and the door was closed, and then we felt like we have to minister. We started this ministry. We did not know that Haiti was going to be closed for a long time, and the people and the country will be going completely down further and further in evil. But God has a plan, beloved. Amen. And so I say today, this morning to you, before I close, that God has a plan for you. Even when evil is going on, God is here. God is at work. He never stopped working. He never stopped loving you. He does not cancel his plan because of evil. He's always at work. He has a plan. One day evil will be over. But in the meantime, God is at work. Be at work with God. If there is anyone this morning who is not saved, who have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior, please do, because time is short. You don't know your time. God has a plan for you. His plan is to save you forever, give you eternal life, and provide for all your needs. Amen. God has a plan, beloved. Don't be discouraged. Do not let whatever it is in your life, I don't know what it is, discourage you. When you see man's plan succeed, remember, all things work together for good. God has a plan to. God can change things in a minute. It's a twinkle of an eye. Listen to his voice. Look at what he did with Paul. Oh, he's opened the door of Europe. And at the end of his ministry, Paul said, I have finished my course. I've done it. It is because he listened to the Holy Spirit. May it be so for me, and may it be so for each one of you. Thank you. May God bless.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to be here this morning. God, I'm thankful that you have a plan for our lives. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that if we'll just allow you, Lord, to sit on the throne of our life, God, that you'll work that plan in the best place that we can be today, Lord. No matter what's going on in this world, just to be in the center of your will, God, following the plan that you have for our life. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know, God, what that plan might be. I pray, God, that they'll come today. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. So, God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning. God, whatever the spiritual need might be, Lord, that folks will come, and God, that they'll seek your face, and Lord, that you'll just reveal yourself to them in a special way. So, Father, I pray, God, that your hand will be upon us today. And God, I pray that you'd give this invitation because, Lord, I cannot. So, Lord, watch over us this morning. Thank you, God, for the message. Lord, may we apply it to our hearts and lives. And I'll give you praise and glory because it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While we stand and while we sing a verse.